Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 2. There's one group of people in the Christmas story that doesn't often get talked about. That's the wise men. This morning we're going to look at them a little bit. Look at this chapter, Matthew chapter 2. Let's read verses 1 through 10. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him.' When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your love for us. That sent your son to be born, to grow up to be a man and to die on the cross for us, for our sin, that the penalty of your wrath and the penalty of death might be satisfied through his blood. And Father, we thank you that you give every one of us the opportunity to receive you, receive your gift of salvation. And Father, as we look at this passage this morning, even here we can see truth. We can see how you lead people to yourself. Father, I pray that if there's someone here this morning that does not know you as Savior, that they would see the truth. They would see the need for a Savior and that they would turn to you. Father, I pray that you would be glorified in everything that is said and done this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There are a lot of theories about these wise men. Most of us have been taught in some way or another, through Sunday school lessons, through songs, that there were three wise men. If you look at that passage, it doesn't say there's three wise men. Now, it was interesting, I was studying this week, and it said that theories are that there were three wise men, that they found three sets of bones, and they found them buried in a special tomb in a special place, and it's like, okay, we're not going there this morning. Okay. Some say they rode on camels. Well, maybe. Doesn't say anything about camels either, but oftentimes rich people did. When they came to the stable where Jesus was born, and you see a nativity set, who do you see? You see Mary, Joseph, you see the baby Jesus, you see the shepherds, you see some lambs and some cattle, you see the wise men. Okay? But this passage helps us to understand the necessary details about these men from the east and their journey to see the newborn king. And we see in verses 1 and 2, the wise men come to Jerusalem. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." The word wise men here has the idea of magi or kings. And it's believed that they were from a priestly caste or a royal caste from Persia or Arabia. And if you look on the map, that's quite a distance to travel. We don't know how long it took them to travel that distance, but they came from a great way off, and these men were most likely occupied with sciences of nature, astrology, medicine, and they were learned men of these eastern cities. Who else do we know that was learned men from these eastern cities? How about Daniel? How about Daniel's three friends? When they brought Daniel and his three friends to Babylon, what did they do? They trained them in the ways of the Chaldeans. They trained them in the ways. They trained them in these sciences. They trained them in these things. And these men were learned men. And so knowing that, it may lead us to believe that these could have been descendants of Abraham that had relocated to east. If you turn in your Bibles to Genesis 25, verses 5 and 6. We read about Abraham. Now Sarah had died, and Abraham remarried Keturah. But down in verse 5, he's dispersing his inheritance, or whatever it is, possessions to his family. It says here, Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. So it's very possible that these men that came from this country were in one way or another descendants of Abraham. And so we see here that was a possibility. Perhaps they were Jews that had been relocated due to battles or due to being in captivity. Another example of that would be the book of Esther. How about Ezra and Nehemiah? Those books that talk about Jews that were relocated in captivity, and some ended up coming back to their homelands. The book of Esther talks about Jews in Persia that were in danger of being destroyed. But the wise men of those days were often knowledgeable of the prophecies also that were spoken by the prophets many centuries earlier. And so as they studied the prophecies and compute the time of the coming of the Messiah, a star appears in the sky to the west. And so these men who are learned men, and they're studying and they know the prophecies, and all of a sudden they see a star. And so they go and they follow that star. And that star leads them to Jerusalem, to the land of Judah. And it's interesting, there are records of appearances of new stars or comets by Roman historians at the birth or death of distinguished men. I didn't realize that, but they say in Roman history records, there is record of that happening. For instance, it is said that at the death of Julius Caesar, a comet appeared in the heaven and shone for 7 days. Now, I wasn't there, so I can't give validity to that, but that's in, they say, in Roman record. So they put together the appearance of a star with the prophecies that they were studying, and they realized this could very well be the birth of the King of the Jews. So they set out to find him and to worship him, which brings them to Jerusalem, the capital city of Judea. And that brings us to verses 3 through 8. Now, it was probably not a normal occurrence for wise men to come into Jerusalem from a far country, and most likely they were dressed differently, probably in royal clothing that would stand out among the common people of Jerusalem. But these men began to inquire about the king that was to be born, or that had been born. He says, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Well, news traveled fast, and eventually it reached Herod's ears. And according to verse 3, the news caused the king and many others in Jerusalem to be troubled. And Barnes makes this comment, this note in his commentary. He says, "Herod had obtained the kingdom by great crimes and by shedding much blood. He was therefore easily alarmed by any remarkable appearances. And the fact that this star appeared and that it was regarded as proof that a king of the Jews was born alarmed him. Besides, it was a common expectation that the Messiah was about to appear, and he feared that his reign was about to come to an end. He therefore began to inquire in what way he might secure his own safety and the permanency of his government." So Herod was troubled. And when it says all Jerusalem was troubled, it most likely refers to those who were friends of Herod. They thought things were going to get turned upside down with this new king. But the Jews, they were looking forward to the arrival of their king, because they were looking forward to this king who would come and completely overthrow the Roman government and get them out from under this oppression that they were suffering. Well, Herod gathers his counselors together, and he inquires of them the timing of this special birth. He says in verse 4, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And so he brings these guys in and says, "Guys, what is this all about? Tell me, fill me in on what all is supposed to happen." He said, "Well, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, and it should be about this time." Do you sense a nervousness in Herod here? You know, one of the things I started writing in my notes, I thought maybe I should say, well, Herod was kind of shaking, his knees were shaking. Well, You don't know. But he was nervous. He had gained all this power, all this popularity among these people, and all of a sudden somebody else might be coming on to challenge that. And Herod probably felt his position was being threatened. Look at verses 7 and 8. He had inquired of his counselors, he had inquired of his priests and scribes. But then in verse 7 he says, "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared." So he calls these wise men in, and we don't know how many there were, but he calls them into his private meeting, and he tries to put on a false front of reverence for this king that is born. And he's saying, "Guys, let me know, how'd you find out about this? What about this star that you found?" And he just finds out what they know about this whole thing. Well, then verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him." Well, no, most of us have read the rest of the chapter. We know that's not true. That's not what he wants to do. But these wise men, it says in verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed. And so it brings us to verses 9 through 11. The wise men go to Bethlehem. It's interesting, as you read this passage, it seems that Herod and the people of Jerusalem didn't see the star that brought the wise men to Jerusalem. It says that the star led them to this area, and then the wise men came and said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Well, they said, he's born in Bethlehem. But Herod asked them about the star, asked his men about the star, asked him about these things. But as you read verses 9 through 11, they had departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. It doesn't say the people of Jerusalem necessarily saw the star, but the wise men saw the star, it led them to Jerusalem, and then it says here it led them on to Bethlehem. And as they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I think about that, and I think we pray and ask God for direction in decision sometimes. And sometimes the way seems cloudy, and the way doesn't seem quite understandable. But then God does something, and he makes the way just crystal clear. It's like, wow. And we're just filled with joy because God has made the way clear for us to go forward. And I believe that's what the wise men were seeing here. They saw the star, and they believed that that was to direct them to the Christ child. And they were joyful at that, and they continued on to Bethlehem. Verse 9 seems to indicate that once they started on their journey, the star again appeared and led them to the place where Jesus was living. The fact that the star led these men to the newborn king shows us some important principles. First of all, the birth of Christ is an event of great importance. It's worthy of divine guidance to these men who were seeking him. Secondly, God will guide those who desire to find the Savior. The light may not be constant, but when it is given, it will direct a person to the Redeemer. You see, we don't see that the light shone while these men were in Jerusalem, but they saw it again once they left. And the light will direct a person to the Redeemer. Let me read a passage for you. John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. John 12, 35 and 36. It says, "Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them." And so he will direct people to the Redeemer if they'll follow the light. And thirdly, when we are led to Christ, it should fill us with joy. He is the way, he's the truth, the life, he is the Savior. And there is no other way of life, and there is no peace to the soul until he is found. And so these wise men go to Bethlehem to see the Christ child. And we see in verse 11, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. So with joy in their hearts that they had found the newborn king, they came into the house and worshipped him, and they presented him gifts of great value, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And these gifts are also notable as coming from the area of Arabia, and so it kind of helps us understand the area where they came from. But the application for us here from the wise men is that we should give our best to Christ. We should give our hearts, we should give our property, we should give our all to Christ. But then we see the wise men returned home in verse 12. It says, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And it wasn't just that they were done. It wasn't just that their mission was accomplished, because they continued to obey the divine guidance that they were given. And once we're saved, that's not the end. We continue to obey God. We continue to follow his direction, his leading in our lives. And these wise men, they were told, they were warned, don't go back to Herod. Don't go back to Herod. And so they continued on to their home a different way, which set off another chain of events that were connected with the young Christ child. And that brings us to verses 13 to 23, Joseph and Mary instructed to move. Verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And it was there until the death of Herod that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. And so Joseph receives a warning, so don't, you've got to leave. You've got to flee Bethlehem. And so Joseph takes Mary and Jesus and they go to Egypt and flee to Egypt for their safety. Verses 16 to 18, we see a break in the chronology of the passage here, and we go back to Herod. We see Herod's attempt to destroy any threats to his position. So then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. So Herod sees a wise man having come back through Jerusalem, and so he gets upset, and he says, okay, I'll take care of this. So he proceeds to have all the male children, 2 years old and under, that were born in Bethlehem, killed, thinking that would take care of it. But when we get to verse 19, we see a sad commentary on Herod's life. It says, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Those four words, when Herod was dead. After all the effort he had put into trying to defeat the king of the Jews, his life ended in death, in hopelessness, and in eternal torment. And when a person sets their heart against God and his purposes, the end result is death and eternal separation from God. There is no other result. You cannot set your heart against God and expect to come out on the better end. And so we see here Joseph and Mary are again warned and are told they can go back, still under the care and guidance of God. And again, Joseph is directed to return to Israel. In verse 20, he says, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he should be called a Nazarene. And so Joseph goes down to the town of, goes north, further north, to the town of Nazareth. And we see again, another prophecy is fulfilled. And if you go through these Gospels, you'll see prophecy after prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus' birth and in the events that took place after that. So what can we draw from this account? What can we draw from this chapter? Why did the star appear to these wise men in the Far East? We don't know. We don't know why the star came to them. But we do know that when God gives the light of the truth to someone, it's important for them to respond. If the wise men, knowing the prophecies, seeing the star, had decided, yeah, okay, but decided not to go, they would have missed out on so much. They could not guarantee that they would have another opportunity to see the King of the Jews. For those who have not received Christ as their Savior, please don't ignore the light of the truth when it's given. Secondly, to those who have received Christ, our goal should be to give our best with the life we have to live. We have the opportunity to serve Him out of gratitude for what He's done for us. And then thirdly, those who set their heart against God will live their life without hope and face eternal death. Those who follow God's leading and rest in His care will find true joy and peace. The wise men, I believed in the Christ child, but they followed the light of the truth that they received, and they saw the Christ child. And as people, we can do the same thing. We see the light of the truth, we respond to it, and we too can see Christ and trust Christ as our Savior. And so I encourage anyone who has not done that this morning, please don't leave here without doing that. You will not have a more important decision, but you're not guaranteed another opportunity to see the light of the truth. So I encourage you to do that this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the examples that You give in Your Word and the true-to-life illustrations that You give us of things that actually took place so that we can see how You work. We can see how You reveal truth to people. Father, as these wise men came and saw Your Son and they worshiped Him, Father, I pray that as people come to You and they see the truth of the gospel, that they would receive You. And as believers, that we would live our lives out of gratitude for what You've done for us, not out of obligation, because of a love for You. Father, I pray that You would just help us to understand these things more as we read Your Word, have a greater love for You. In Jesus' name, amen.